Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Joining me today are the Doman brothers, Kevin, Bryce, Cliff, and Brandon, who each made their mark on the BYU football program as players, and Brandon as a coach as well. Thank you guys so much for coming on with me.
Thanks for having us.
This is absolutely, this is an honor. This is incredible to have all four of you here. So let's start with where you're all at now and where life has taken you. We'll start with the oldest, Kevin. Kevin, where are you living and what's life like for you right now?
I'm in Pleasant Grove, but I spend a lot of time down in St. George. We're just kind of going where the grandkids are. We just got back from being out in North Carolina, seeing some grandkids, but that's a lot of our life right now, and is being grandma and grandpa. I got to serve as a mission leader down in southern Mexico, down right next to Guatemala, and we've been home for a few years, and so, but that's our life now. We've got 13 grandkids.
Oh my goodness, you're living the good life right now, Bryce. What about you? What are you up to?
Well, right now we're in Island Park, Island Park Reservoir in Idaho, on a little getaway. We just had our fourth son return home from his mission to Madagascar, which was just crazy this past week. And so we got out of there and just thought it would be fun to get away. I'm living in Alpine, and I have a manufacturing kind of product development business that I was able to coerce Brandon when he stopped coaching to joining me. And we have a blast. It's kind of a family business. Dad and I started it not long after I graduated from BYU, and it just really enjoyed it. I have four boys and a little girl at the end who's going to go to Utah State when we get home on Monday, which I'm not looking forward to at all.
Oh, the baby's a girl. That's tough right there. But that sounds so much fun working with your brother. Cliff, let's go up to you. What are you up to these days?
Well, I live in Pleasant Grove, have five kids. I'm a dentist. I do general dentistry and a lot of cosmetic dentistry. And I just sent my last kid on a mission. He's in Oklahoma. So I got four married kids, one missionary, three grandkids, and just trying to keep everybody happy in their mouths, I guess. So
good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right, Brandon, it's the baby's turn. What are you up to now?
I'm currently in Linden, Utah right now at our offices where Bryce and I are business partners, just off of Geneva Road. We have a trailer hitch manufacturing business. So if it's noisy, there are CNC machines humming behind the door behind me, and a basketball hoop pickleball manufacturing business just across the street. It's been a lot of fun. I still have a little 9-year-old daughter at home. We have six kids. Our oldest is 23. Our youngest is 9. So there is no empty nesting for me for a while. These guys are all empty nesters, and we have the blessing of having this wonderful little daughter that's got some years ahead of her. So enjoying that.
How many kids are in the family? Is it just there's more than you four boys? You have sisters too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Kevin, take that.
There's seven of us. Seven.
Oh my goodness.
Three sisters as well. Tiffany.
And where do they fall in the family?
So I'm the oldest, Kevin's the oldest, and then Tiffany. She married Alan Pollard, if you remember the Pollards. That's a
yes
family there.
That's a BYU name.
Yeah. And then Debbie, our next sister down, and she married Bob Jensen, a quarterback that played at BYU too. So, and then after Debbie, it's Bryce, then Cliff, then Brandon, and then we have our youngest sister, Susie. And she's the caboose, and the way that, you know. So that's the seven of us.
That's so awesome. That's just mind-blowing nowadays to think about someone having seven kids. Like I said, I'm the youngest of seven. You don't see it very often anymore. That's just quite the Doman legacy. And like you said, and then you got your three sisters too. who also have BYU ties. I think that's so fun. Kevin, how often do you guys get together? You're all, a few of you are in Pleasant Grove, which I love. That's my where I grew up. But how often do you guys get together?
When we do get together, we try to play golf, which is a lot of fun and a lot of a lot of golf clubs thrown around and stuff. But it's great. We like each other, the four of us, which is amazing, you know.
I'm interested in hearing what it was like growing up in a family where four brothers were good enough to play college football, because that's pretty incredible. What was your household like growing up?
Oh, good question. We didn't know, I think, that we were good enough to play college football for a long time. So we really just grew up beating the tar out of each other, you know. My favorite part of that is I got my dog with me. My favorite part of that is a little game we played in our bedroom. For a while there, Bryce, Brandon, and I slept in a triple bunk bed in our home in Salt Lake. And there was a game we played. I don't even know if you guys remember it, but I think it was a sock. We'd get a sock, and the goal was to touch the other bed with the sock. No rules. Beat the tar out of each other, whatever you wanted. And if you could get to the bed and touch it, you scored and you won. So,
wow.
But Brandon is 5 inches taller than I am, and he's my younger brother. So we were about the same size. So it was, I don't know, it was a pretty good battle most of the time.
What's the age gap between the two of you? Cliff and Brandon.
Six years. Cliff, no, I'm sorry, 3 years. Bryce is 6 years older than me. Cliff is 3 years older than me.
Okay. So you're right on his heels. Brandon, how would you describe your mom and dad's parenting style growing up? Were they strict with you boys, or were you all pretty self-motivated?
Our parents aren't strict. They weren't strict. They actually unbelievably raised us with a ton of trust and confidence, and try and emulate that as a parent. It's been near impossible to duplicate what my mom and dad were able to do with us. And in some way, they were able to demonstrate to us how they trusted us and had confidence in us. We didn't want to violate that trust. But funny, you asked that question, because I think one of the inherent attributes of being the youngest brother in this group of four, my mom and dad would not allow the older brothers to, in any way, shape, or form, belittle, hurt, cause any harm to the youngest brother. And if they did, they were in massive trouble. And so there were times when, you know, Cliff would pretend like he was going to do something, and I would now act like I was injured because I was mad at him, and mom and dad would Cliff would get in trouble. But We were highly, highly competitive. Our dad created and fostered an environment of competition. But, man, we pulled for each other. We rooted for each other. We went to each other's games. I don't know of anybody that's been a bigger beneficiary of big brothers than me. I mean, I am the beneficiary of some unbelievable big brothers. And the way that they've supported me in my life is just, it's unparalleled. And I'm forever grateful for that.
Bryce, did your parents have a philosophy or rules about sports? Like, did they choose football for you, or was that something that you, as the older boys, organically started playing?
Oh man, they forced it upon us. No, they did. They didn't. They did not. But it really, I think it was a factor of our oldest brother, who's not on here. I'm going to take advantage of him being stuck somewhere on side of the road, probably got pulled over by a cop. Kevin is a trailblazer of trailblazers. He was not only an incredible athlete, but he was so quick. So he made fast look fun. You know, he made me realize as a boy that if I could be fast, boy, that was a lot. That made everything fun to watch. And he would barely hit the ball when he was playing baseball. I mean, if the ball hit the bat, Kevin got on to first base. He was so fast. And then once he got on to first base, he was home in about four pitches. And, you know, it was just, it was, watching Kevin play sports, I was driving up through Rexburg, Idaho on our way up here, and my heart just started pumping. And I just had this memory of going to watch my brother Kevin, who played for Dixie, play against Rick's College, and just how huge, how absolutely massive that felt to me to see my brother playing college football. I couldn't believe it. I thought I was the coolest kid who ever lived. And what really made it is Kevin just totally involved me. In fact, his freshman year at Dixie College, he played basketball and football. And when he played on the basketball team, I'm 8 years younger than him. He was just turning 18 at that time, just turned 18. So I would have been 10. It's amazing. And he took me on a road trip with the Dixie basketball team down to Southern California. And I heard words that I didn't know existed, you know, among all those guys. Watched behavior that was totally inappropriate for a 10-year-old, I'm sure. But I was right there, you know, and he made me feel like I was the best athlete who ever lived. You know, that's how he treated me. I didn't really know anything different. Our mom and dad were just the best supporters you ever have seen, and they still are today. But as far as pushing the sports, they didn't. I would say Kevin probably was the one that did that more than anybody, and they just supported us.
You know, Lauren, this is Cliff piping in again, like I'm good at. But there was this positive pressure from your brothers. I was the third boy, and you kind of figured if they did that, then I sure can do that. And that was every part of life, right? They all got good grades. They all were good people. They all served missions. They all were nice, you know, and when they got a girlfriend, it made me think I could get a girlfriend, right? So all that stuff, there was pressure, positive pressure of if they did it, I can do it. And having us all together those brothers made me want to be better at everything I did, everything. And that was a really unique and fun way to grow up. My heroes were my brothers. And so I was trying to be like them in everything. And when they did it, I'm going to do it. I can do it, you know.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have more BYU football brothers, Kevin, Bryce, Cliff, and Brandon Doman. This is Royal Legacy.
What's up, guys? This is Lauren McClain for Royal Legacy and Her Why. If you like those podcasts, make sure you check out Deep Blue, hosted by Jason Shepherd. You'll gain a deeper connection with the BYU Cougars, both current and former. Each episode offers a unique behind-the-scenes look at the personal stories that have shaped these incredible athletes and coaches. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts or on the BYU Radio app.
And now back to Royal Legacy and your host, Lauren McClain.
Brandon, let's go to you. As the youngest of the brothers, how much of your success throughout high school and leading up to college was due to natural talent, or how much did it come from the environment that you grew up in with your brothers?
100% had to do with the environment that I was in. I mean, it was hard to fail, honestly. And I say that sometimes that it was near impossible to fail because of the support I had from my family, from my older brothers, the way that they taught me and trained me and guided me and enabled me to be successful. I had been to, I don't know how many BYU football games. By the time I got there to be a football player there, I had been in the stadium for who knows, I mean, 15 years watching my brothers play sports. And they were 100% convinced that I was going to be able to do it. So since they were convinced, I was convinced, and I wanted it so bad. And just like Cliff said, I wanted to do what my brothers had done. And so being able to play at BYU was really the pinnacle goal for me as a young kid. When I say it was hard to not succeed, or it was nearly impossible to fail, I kid you not, you know, I don't remember a game that I didn't have my brothers at. How in the world did they get there? Bryce was playing football at BYU. I'm in high school. I don't know how he got there. I don't know what, if he was missing airplanes. I don't know what he was doing. But the flipping guy was there. And Cliff was always there. And Kevin was always there. I just knew I could do it because you know, they were there. And I think that's a pretty unique opportunity as a young brother.
Bryce, how did you make that happen? How were you able to make those games when you were playing football at BYU?
I had some nice coaches. I actually think that Coach Edwards and a couple of those other guys were hoping that Cliff and Brandon would come to BYU. So I think I was part of the recruiting effort there. But, you know, I actually I saw Cliff win a game by himself one time. And we must have had a home game that game because I was there. And I've never seen anything like it in my life where one person decided, well, I'm not ready to go home yet. So it was a playoff game, and he ended up, I won't get into details, but when he won with the winning touchdown, which was overtime, I jumped in on the pile with his team and he headbutted me. I didn't have a helmet on. And he messed up the bridge of my nose pretty bad, kind of burst it open. I came back to team meetings that night. It was, and coaches were like, we're not letting you go to another game of your brothers because you come back injured. But, you know, those guys, and you know, I don't know if this kind of ties into that or not, but one time Brandon won a game. It was a little old game where it was Lavelle Edwards' last game. No big deal. They won the championship there. Not championship, but they beat Utah, which is kind of like a championship. And in the last second, Lavelle's last game, I jumped down onto the stadium field, run out onto the field. And sometimes when you're celebrating, you kind of push the guy when they're running towards you. And Brandon did that to me as I ran out onto the field. And the police didn't know I was his brother. Next thing you know, I'm getting hauled off by the police. I'm like, I'm his brother. I'm his brother.
I'm one of them.
So
I
anyway,
promise.
That nature to be proud and happy for their successes is inherent and part of who we are, I'm sure. Like I said, I think Kevin started that trend, and it just it's just who we are.
Kevin, I'm glad you popped in here because we've been talking about you a little bit while you've been gone. But we want to know, what was it like for you being the oldest brother? Because they were mentioning that you kind of paved the way. You got into football first, and then, you know, all three of your younger brothers. Did you ever feel a little bit of a weight on you as the oldest brother that, hey, I got all these guys looking up to
me? You know, I'm 8 years older than Bryce, and I played at BYU from 83, 84, 85, 86. Those were the 4 years. And 83 was when Steve Young was here. 84 is the national championship. Those were fun years to be here. But it's funny because when I left, you know how with all the red shirts and all the missions and all that, I leave having red shirt and gone on a mission, and Bryce comes in 1 year after I'm gone. Like, it's like, It felt to everybody like he was just, you know, he was 8 years younger, but he comes in 1 year later, and he actually played with a lot of the same guys I did. And so a lot of people, he wore the same jersey number for a little bit, and a lot of people thought he was me, you know. He'd make these diving catches. I just don't have the heart to tell anybody that it was really my little brother, you know. I just go with it. But, I mean, I was so – I can't tell you – how proud, you know, it made me emotional. I'm so, because I'm that older, these guys were just my little league brothers, you know. My high school, at Skyline High School, we used to go watch them play. We'd go to film on Saturday and we'd go watch the little leaguers play, and it was all my little brothers out there, and I was so proud of them when they were little, and that just kind of, I'm so proud of them, you know. I was so happy when I don't know if these guys, I don't know what they said while I was gone, but Bryce played against the University of Texas, and he was a freshman. And he was wearing that jersey number of mine, and he calls me up. I'm working on Wall Street, you know, and he calls me up and he says, you're not going to believe it, but I can't remember the plays. So they're not going to rotate plays with me. They're just going to leave me out on the field. And I'm starting against Texas tonight. And I go, what? And I'm watching from New York City. And he goes, yeah. And he tells me what the first play is going to be. And I go, oh, my gosh. Because, you know, I just barely was there. And I go, you're the X receiver. And we kind of talked about what that play was going to be. You got a chance. You got a chance to be the guy they're going to throw to. You got to get wide open. And I'm, like, giving him this advice, you know. So I'm watching. First play, they fake the reverse, fake the blunt. And it's Sean Covey, and he steps back and throws this long pass to Bryce, and he's wide open in the middle of the field. He turns around, catches it, and runs, and it's an 80-yard touchdown. His first play as a freshman against Texas, wow. And we beat Texas. Here they are, number one in the country right now this year. But that was my little – it makes me emotional to talk about it. I was so proud of him. People think somehow I'm jealous of my little brothers. Are you kidding me? I'm so – They're like my sons in a way. I'm really, really super proud of them.
You know,
Bryce,
Lauren,
did you? Oh yeah, go ahead, Cliff.
I'll pipe in on that too to show the other end because I came in the year Bryce left, and I took his number. So there is maybe 30 catches that I have claimed credit to in my life that Bryce made, and we talk about trying to be like our brothers and everything. And when I came in there, we at BYU, when we were around, they just kind of self-taught each other how to run routes. And so I went and started asking everybody how to run routes. And everybody said, well, just, what do you mean? Your brother's the best route runner it's ever been. Watch his film. And that very play where he caught this touchdown against Texas, he did the coolest move in the history of BYU. It was like five different moves or whatever, you know, I'm exaggerating.
But Cliff, that's because I told him to do that. Remember that, right? That day.
I do remember that. Do you guys know, you didn't even know this, but we called that the Bryce Post. Did you guys know that? We named it the Bryce Post, and even down at BYU. And then I've taught that to my younger kids, and I'd say, well, just put the Bryce Post in there. And that just meant you can't just go run to the middle. You had to, you know, there were a couple things he did in that route. He actually made his cornerback fall down. He turned him totally around. He was all alone. It was a great route. But that's kind of how it was. I mean, we were really blessed to have each other around us, and through the years we've done that. And I've watched every film Bryce played. I watched every route I ran was based off of what he did. And I think I watched every single play of his trying to learn how to be good.
Are you getting emotional too, Cliff? Because I was.
No, I don't get emotional, Kevin. I'm a rock.
I have to tell one more story, and then I promise I'll shut up. But I just heard Archie.
No, I love it.
Archie Manning.
You guys have red hair. And they cry a lot. I don't know why. I don't know why that matches up, but it does for some reason.
I don't see any hair on you guys, by the way. And Bryce has his hat on. So anyway, when I was just the other day, I heard Archie Manning, the old dad, you know. And I remember him playing for the Saints when I was growing up. These guys are too young, but Archie Manning was a great quarterback. And then he had those sons, Eli and Peyton, that did all pretty. They did all right in NFL and stuff, right? Now he's got this son, this grandson, that's playing for Texas, like we're talking about, number one team in the country right now, and he's a pretty good quarterback. And he's named after his grandpa. I don't know if people know that. And they were interviewing him the other day, and he said, you know, the podcaster was asking him all these questions and all this stuff, you know, and he's like, I got an answer for every one of your questions, and I know exactly what my grandson's got to do, and I know exactly what the coaches ought to do, and I know everything. I got it all figured out. Trust me, I know every answer. But Archie's my grandson. I'm just his grandpa. And when he asks me about stuff, I just tell him I love him, and I just hope he doesn't get hurt. I'm just his grandpa. I saw him when he was a little boy playing, and I just can't even believe he's out there playing. And I feel that way. You know, I think more grandpas not need to take that good advice. You know, just kind of just love them. It's hard. You got all these. You know what everybody should do. When Brandon was calling the plays at BYU, I had every play figured out. But he never asked me one play. You know, he never asked me what to call. But it's hard because you feel like you know everything, but at the end of the day, you just, it's probably good just to love the game and love the players, you know. It's probably good advice.
I think that's great advice, and I'm sure as a parent, it changes from being a parent to then the grandparent, right? I'm sure that mentality shifts a lot. Brandon, you have 6 kids of your own. You all have a lot of kids, which I love, but you've had ample time to ponder about your career and your life and being a parent. What's something about your upbringing with your brothers and sisters that you really have kind of tried to encapsulate and bring to your own family?
Self-confidence, I think, is it's becoming more and more challenging in the world we live in today to build confidence in your children. If they have confidence, they can do anything. And so providing them simple successes along the way to help them gain confidence in themselves, gain confidence in who they really are, both spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and be able to identify with their true, you know, their true inner self and inner strength. I think our parents were so good at helping us develop self-confidence. My wife teases me to this day that you know, as far as my mom's concerned, I can do no wrong. You know, it's just, there's nothing I can do wrong. And my mom, although I can do wrong and I did do wrong, gosh, she made me feel like I was, you know, I was $1 million all the time. And, that's hard. That's been hard as a parent to do the exact same thing that my parents did for me. And my dad would always say, don't get on the opposite side of the fence of your child. Stay on the same side. Stay on the same team. Because if you become an opponent, if you end up being on the other side of the, you know, on the other sideline, it's really hard to parent your child. And I think there's been some times maybe when I felt like I was an opponent, you know, maybe I was on the other side of the fence and I had blown it. And so I just don't ever want my children to ever feel stranded. I don't want them to ever feel like they can't, that there's something they can't do. I want them to always believe that if their mind can conceive it and their heart can believe it, they absolutely can achieve it. And I was raised in an environment like that. And as a father now, you know, trying to create that environment for my children has been the number one task, and it has not been easy, to say the least, but that's certainly been the goal.
Mm. I'm soaking this all in. I'm a mother of 2 boys, and it's tough. It is really tough, but I love that advice. Bryce, I'm going to go to you because I feel like they've been talking at you a lot. We haven't heard from you as much. If your parents were listening to this, because really it all – life, as you all know, as you get older, life feels so short, right? And your parents are still your parents. If your parents were listening to this, what would be one thing that you would really want to thank them for?
Oh, man.
Good luck.
Now you're going to make us all cry.
Well, you caught us at a time when our mom just fell on her head about 2-3 months ago. And had some pretty bad damage there to her brain, a lot of fluid there to the brain, and we weren't sure she was going to make it for about a week. And then if she did, what kind of condition she would be in, and she's been incredible. I would say just sheer determination, you know, to the end. I think our dad's biggest pet peeve was when we were all kind of fast, not very big and strong, but we were all pretty fast. Kevin and Cliff were the quickest, but we were all pretty quick. And so when we played basketball, you'd get a steal. You know, I'd try to get as many steals as possible because Kevin had the record of something like 23 steals in the game. So I was always trying to get as many as him. But if you got a steal and then you headed back down the other side of the floor and you missed the layup, which happened a lot to us because we never got that great at basketball, Dad would get in the car afterwards. It seemed like about halfway home, he'd say, well, guy, it was a great game. You know that there were a couple times when you went to all that effort to steal the ball and then you missed the layup. Why'd you go to all that effort to miss and then miss the layup at the end? I think my mom and dad are finishers, And, you know, they have done an incredible job of representing that in the way that they live their life, the way that they have represented that in their marriage, the way that they are in all aspects of their life. And then they encourage us to do the same, to go as hard as we can, to be determined, but to do it to the end. Don't leave the job undone. I don't know how many times my dad would say that to us when we were working. Finish the job. So I'm grateful for that lesson. That's, you said pick one, but there's probably 10 really great ones there that they've taught us.
Coming up next week, part two of my interview with the Doman Brothers. Christy Solomon helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.